Blog Talk Radio.
Ten Commandments and the One Golden Rule? Are you living your life accordingly, as if these were a precise roadmap for living well? Take a moment to refresh your memory and then listen to this enlightening radio interview with Denise Alexander Pyle, author of The Power of One with a Zero. Then reflect upon your life now. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the Healing Through Love Lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. A practicing attorney for over 41 years, Denise Alexander Pyle has actually been a self-directed student of spirituality since she was 14. What a combination, law and spirituality. Although raised and still a practicing Jew, she describes herself as a new way Jew, accepting Jesus as the way to God. She believes the multiple layers of meaning in the Ten Commandments and knowledge of the Tree of Life are actually rules of the road for peaceful coexistence and survival on this planet. So this is very special to meet with you and talk with you today. Denise Alexander Pyle, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica, for having me on your show.
So let's begin with you telling us about your early background, your education, work as an attorney, and what led to this almost like a turnaround, this incredible book with deep insights that most of us really don't know or understand.
Well, I've always been a powerful observer of things, you know, able to synthesize their meaning and describe them to other people since I was a little girl. But I, as you said, I was raised Jewish, and I had something happen when I was 14 that led me looking for, you know, the meaning of things that you couldn't see, you know, sort of the Rod Serling Twilight Zone mentality. And, you know, back then, they didn't take me to a metaphysical bookstore. I wound up in the Occult Book of the Month Club. But I kept looking and finding and seeking, and then I knew I was going to be an attorney when my sister got divorced when I was 17, and I got kicked out of my bedroom in high school, and we had no lawyers in our family, and my sister did not fare well in her divorce. So kind of that led me to law and the combination. I knew from the time I was 24 I was going to be a divorce attorney. And a few years later, I had an opportunity to teach Sunday school, and I taught Judeo-Christian ethics as a debate to 15-year-olds. And one of the topics was actually each week talking about a different commandment in the Ten Commandments. And it clicked. And I saw, sort of from that point, saw that, you know, everything would go well if you really kind of applied one of the Ten Commandments. I could see where it fit into the world. And again, we're all practicing, so I don't get it perfect either. But it just, when I started to really see it politically, that we as a nation really weren't living a spiritual existence, and it was affecting our how we were viewed by the rest of the world. How, and I mean, you can see it more today than when I saw this less than 25 years ago, how divided we are. About 2010, my husband was semi-retired in Florida, and I sat at the computer, and all of a sudden, the draft of this book poured out of me over 4 weekends. And it sounded more like a sermon than it did the book that in its present form. But I knew it had to be edited to be readable. And it took me retiring from my full-time practice in Michigan to moving to the farm in Indiana to have the time where I could write something that was crisp enough and clear enough that people would enjoy reading it as opposed to feel that God was lecturing them, because I believe the message was given to me by God, you know, and I was just here to be a conduit to get the message out. So that's the history of the book and my background that led me to where I am today.
It's such an important topic, and I really haven't seen it written about, certainly not the way you did it, just so simply to label each of the commandments. So how did you come up with that title? What does it mean, the power of one with zero in parentheses?
Well, to me, you know, the subtitle is A Guide to Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times. So the image is to look at the ten, but the zeros in parentheses, because even without the Ten Commandments, if we live the Golden Rule, you know, love our neighbors as ourselves, and that's really the Christ part that I accept. It's Christ consciousness. It's love is the overriding theme. And I don't think the Old Testament explained it or until we got to that juncture that we were redirected to live in love. I think it's a continuum. I don't think it's, you know, it's, I think we're all one. I think I'm here to, and I don't think you need to be Judeo-Christian to apply these rules. I think it's about the underlying truth that we all live by to live together on this planet. So the way is the new, the new is new age. The way is the Christ consciousness, and I'm still a Jewish girl. So those are how I see it.
Yeah. So they don't have to be separate. It can be both and inclusive. Yeah.
And that's the key. When we were kids, don't you remember when we were kids, our parents said in good company, you didn't discuss religion or politics. And look at today. I mean, because it was divisive.
And you did not mention Jesus in the house when I was growing up. But I had a spiritual experience at an ashram where I was suddenly praying to Jesus. I didn't even know where it came from. It was inspired. So I learned, and sending love to everyone. So I know love is so powerful. But I have a question, since you've really studied this. Oh, wow. So since you've studied this and really looked at the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, how do you love someone who's being abusive to you, wanting to kill you? Just a question.
Well, one, I my own personal thing is I put up a mirror and I take the belief that only good comes through to me and anything that's negative goes away. I give myself permission to forgive them, but to allow myself to leave the situation. You have to stand in your truth, and you don't need to be surrounded by negativity. I mean, you have to step away from it. I mean, that's what I encourage. 42 years as a divorce attorney, I mean, I had to help my clients to leave because the number one thing is to love yourself. Because you're part of God, and the first commandment is to love yourself. So in order to love yourself, you only allow into your life things that honor you. That's the first commandment. So, you know, forgive and walk away.
That's beautiful. Thank you. You know, I know that a lot of people think that, you know, because we talk about love, and they think, well, how do I love this person? And you just explained it. The forgiveness is important, but not while you're trying to walk away, you know, to take care of yourself.
No, love
first.
Is unity. You know, there is no unity if somebody's abusing you. And the first commandment is about the unity of yourself. Well, love, you know, loving God, loving yourself, loving each other. But that's love. And if that person isn't loving you, you aren't in unity. So you can walk away from them.
Okay, so you include the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life as part of this roadmap. So please explain what they are.
Well, first of all, for those who don't know, Kabbalah is an ancient Jewish wisdom that explains the eternal laws of how spiritual energy moves through the cosmos. Basically, it's quantum physics. It was, you know, the ancients knew quantum physics, and that's really what Kabbalah was. The Tree of Life, as depicted, is, you know, sort of like the ladder design, and it actually has the chakras as well as the 10 spheres, which are one of the same, and a hidden one, but I'll talk about that later. They represent divine attributes of the world and its inhabitants. So the structure progresses down the heavens until it reaches Earth's, you know, lowest realm. And to me, so does the Ten Commandments, so that each attribute actually ties in to each commandment as you go down the ten. And the 11th one, which is that, which is intuition, knowledge, is actually, to me, tied into the Golden Rule anyway. But there are no accidents in nature. The Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the tree are all referred to as the Tree of Life. And to me, it's just mm-hmm. a different depiction of the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's how we cross between the kingdoms of God and man.
So how are these a roadmap for humanity?
Well, as you go through each commandment, they lead to, you know, they lead from the higher realm to the lowest realm. And they allow you to explore your life's purpose and find ways to reject those things in your life that move you away from your goal and help you to find your path to living more in alignment and peace and being creative and joyful. I actually yesterday, and it takes 3 minutes, so I'm not going to read it. I actually turned them into affirmations because I did it for someone asked me to do it for a show. And as you go through each commandment, you know, the first commandment is about love and respect and yourself and how you relate with it. I think no other guides before me is how you choose things that are not material because they don't fill your soul, to honor what's invisible, to find gratitude and be in service. And all these things nurture you. You don't misusing the name of God. It's about assuming responsibility, not blaming others. It's how we come together in peace, not divide and conquer, because I don't believe, you know, it was all about creating wars in the name of, over our different view of what God is. Keeping the Sabbath holy really is about renewal, reflection, making sacred space so that you have time to go to yourself to find the answers, because that's where they all are, to look at your past week. Did I do well? Or do I need to fix this? Spend quiet time with family and honor what's really important. If you go to a service, it's really prayer amplifies those messages. So it's really about the support and amplification, and how we help one another. I mean, each thing builds on. Now, honoring father and mother, really, it's about, you know, the balance in all things. We are created from, you know, both masculine, feminine energy. Everything is yin and yang. But our parents are here to teach, and we honor them by taking those lessons and doing well when we teach our children and nurture our children. So, I mean, how better way to honor someone than to set a good example based upon the respect and teachings of your parent? And, you know, we don't honor our elders in society, so not enough. To me, committing adultery is, you know, not doing it is more about staying pure in your thoughts, but it's about honoring the promises and commitments you make to yourself as well as others. I mean, the biggest fear people have is fear of failure, and some even say fear of success. But this is the courage to go through and make a better life for yourself. Promise yourself to be the best you can be and follow through. And you have victory, which happens to be the word in the Kabbalah tree of life that is the seventh sphere. Stealing is, you know, everything right now, unfortunately, in our planet is being stolen from us. Our resources, you know, our livelihoods, our ability to promise a better future for our children, when it's supposed to be justice and charity and balance. And, you know, it's just not allowing ourselves to not be valued for our service. I mean, it's true value needs to be exchanged. But there also ain't no such thing as a free lunch, Tan Staffel. So it's finding the balance to honor what you do for people, that you receive fair wages, but that we don't hoard. Because, you know, if you drink from a stream and, you know, it's going downstream, so other people need the chance to drink too. And if somebody dams it up, they might get a big lake. But, you know, if they're not allowing others to share in that, then they're dying down the road. You know, the beavers have it right. They create a village. When the stream dries up, all the other animals come and move around the lake. False witness. We need to be truthful in everything we do, especially to ourselves, because you can't, if you lie to yourself, you're not honest with yourself, you can't fix something. And we need to all stand in our truth and integrity, because that's how we build relationships, by being able to trust each other and rely on each other. And finally, you know, as you're going to joy, you know, it's living your own life. It's not coveting what your neighbor has, because we're all here for our own journey and to find the joy and contentment in our own journey. And we do that by concentrating on what makes us grow, our talents, our do the things you love and the money will follow. And also trying not to make other people jealous of what we have, not flaunting it so that they feel bad, and encourage them in what they do in their own journey. To me, that's sort of how the Ten Commandments allows us to spread love and kindness and the knowledge we are all one with God. So I kind of ran through it in a, you know, overview, but that's really the essence.
We're here to live life, not to squander it.
Yeah, is there a particular sequence? You know, does one lead to the next, or does it matter
where
you start?
I think you can. Each one stands alone, but the sequence, as you go through, the first commandments are our relationship with God and ourselves, and then each other, and you know, how we stay in the light, choosing not to get stuck in worshiping of, you know, false idols, celebrities, you know, designer jeans. Yeah, they're not, I'm not saying don't have them, but they are not, they take you further away from the light, because it gets you stuck in this planet and not in the things that really fill your soul. Then we get into so you go down. Now it's your relationship. It's all about self, meditation. It's still self. Family is, you know, the Ten Commandments. Now, so the first five is really more God and family and interpersonal. The second side really expands to how we live in the world, but still move towards, you know, our own self-growth to contentment and joy. Because each of these things, you know, as we build our self-respect and our self-esteem. You know, because as we master each of these things, we set an example for everybody else. It's all energy. We enlighten one another.
It's just beautiful. So are there any other metaphysical or spiritual connections that tie this together?
Oh, yeah. If you study metaphysics at all, one of the great metaphysical teachers was a woman by the name of Madame Blavatsky. And she wrote The Secret Doctrine and over 100 years ago. And she co-founded the Theosophical Society. Interestingly, she wrote, everything in the universe throughout all its kingdoms is conscious, i.e. endowed with a consciousness of its own kind on its own place of perception. I think this is the depiction of the power of 10, a key to living that conscious life. So that is, to me, her interpretation is just another interpretation of the same thing. It's the marriage of the 10 and the 1, the place where we cross, you know, again, between God and man.
So could you give maybe an example of how our listeners could apply a specific commandment to their own life?
Well, in my book, actually, I, at the end of each chapter, I add commitments to try and help you take the theme of the commandment and, you know, incorporate it. You know, we all need action to make it real. So, for example, in just the, I'm pulling up the first commandment, things you can do, you know, to I am the Lord your God, and see yourself as part of God. So number two, look in the mirror each morning and ask yourself the following questions. Do I like who I see? Am I using my creative powers? Am I doing my best to take better care of my temple? Because the Kabbalah meaning for this is crown. So I look at it as, you know, we're all temples that are housing our crown, our brain. So we need to take care of our temples. That's the material part of us. Do I eat healthy? Can I say no to drugs or other addictive substances? If the answer to any of these questions is no, write down one thing you will do or one change you will make to affect the answer to your question. Write down next to it what actions you will take to manifest your intentions and set a date or time to start. Follow through. Keep focused on the one act until you have mastered it and add a new one and so on. Because this is about, you know, the first commandment is treating yourself as a God self in a positive way. I am is not me. There's a difference. Don't be self-centered, but being self-directed.
All right, so what do you mean by I am is not me? Clarify
all right,
that.
Yeah, the I am is our connection where I am, when you say it, is very powerful. It's I am the Lord thy God. It's the one. But I believe we are all a vibrant thread in the tapestry of the universe, and we each have our own God self that God gave us so that we could create here on earth. But that doesn't mean if you think of yourself, oh, I'm God. No, you are a God self, but you are not any more important than the next person because they're endowed with the same gift. So we treat each other with respect and honor that we each have a God self. So it's not about being so self-absorbed that you put yourself before everybody else. It's because we all are here to serve, but it's to love and honor yourself so that you can be the best you can be as you go out and create and do what you do.
So if people followed the principle in this book, how would life be different? How would the world be different?
Oh, my God. First of all, I think if we all practice this, we would all live in peace, harmony, joy. We'd realize our dreams. We wouldn't need much government other than, you know, the things you have to do to regulate, because we would regulate ourselves. We would, you know that we're here to help one another and work in conjunction with one another. We're here with each having a gift that we're sharing. And, you know, if we lived our own lives and in the best way we could be and found contentment with them, we would not be in mischief, so to speak. Yeah, you know, it just, we don't reap the benefits. Life isn't easy. It's our reaction to things. It's what makes us where we are. Everybody's looking for answers. And I think these things provide the way to be self-reliant, creative, giving, and compassionate. You know, it boils down to compassionate common sense. And it's just, how do we get there? You know, in the Old Testament, there's 613 explanations and commandments, which is mitzvah, that are derived from the 10. And interesting, the numerical value is 10 of 613. Mm-hmm. They explain it. We haven't really been taught how they apply in so many ways.
Well, what I would like is for you to just repeat the Ten Commandments, you know, because people are listening and they don't have your book in front of them, you know. So if you could just repeat them, that would be helpful.
I would love to. I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. Do not misuse the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's belongings. So if I drill them down, I say number one is love and respect. Number two is gratitude and service. Number three, responsibility and peace. Number four, reflection, renewal. Number five, teach and balance. Number six, creativity or create, nurture. Number seven, commitment and courage. Number eight, justice and charity. Number nine, integrity, truth. And the last one, contentment and joy. These are, to me, the lessons we can take in living our life from the Ten Commandments. And with the golden rule, as you do unto others, so do you do to yourself. You have to love yourself. But that's really about connecting to all knowledge and oneness.
Mm. Wow. I'm reacting as you were saying them. I was thinking about just a few of them, like thou shalt not steal. When we think of stealing, automatically we think of, you know, going into some store and grabbing something that doesn't belong to you. But we don't think in terms of stealing someone's joy or stealing their work, like plagiarizing something and taking credit for it, or not letting them, like has happened with people in the medical profession where they can't print, they can't get their information into a medical journal because it goes against what somebody else wants. So that's stealing from someone. So
absolutely.
I just realized there's much more meaning.
Killing. It's energetic.
Yes.
Killing is about when I say we're here to nurture and create. Don't kill. It's not just a life. It's killing spirit, not killing their dreams, their hopes, their desire. I mean, you can steal it and take it for yourself, you know, and take credit for something. You can kill their dream entirely by not honoring and motivating them when they're looking for that kind of guidance, or just when someone throws out an idea in a meeting and you immediately shoot it down. We don't dialogue. Today, there's no debate anymore, a sharing of ideas. And that's destroying the spirit of working together to solve problems. I mean, it's on so many levels that these things apply. I mean, look at what's happened to cities because somebody has an idea where, oh, I can make all the money. I mean, look at God bless it. Look at Amazon, what it's done to all of the chain stores now. I mean, the richest man in the world now owns Amazon. So the question becomes, how many people have lost because of it? In the energy of the Bible was the more money you made, the more people you had to employ. And that you couldn't just hand money to your relatives. You had to give them a job so that they didn't feel like charity cases, that they had self-worth, that you built their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've lost that whole balance of give and take. I believe the more you give, the more comes back at you. And, you know, if you're going to now make a chain of, you want to create, and I'm using Amazon as an analogy, I'm not talking, you know, but now the plan is to make a trucking delivery service that was supposed to take FedEx, UPS, and the Postal Service out of business. So the question is, but you'll be self-employed, and you can employ as many truck drivers as you can, you know, handle. Well, who's preparing the trucks? if you're going to come now back into this country and build factories to employ people, to build the trucks so they have wages so that they can buy things, and, oh, now you're going to build the community back because now people, there's stores there, they want to go in and buy things and look at things and touch them. Well, maybe it's a way to rebuild and put all that $150 billion back into structure. But who's building the trucks? That's the question. Because we can't take out without putting back. Our planet, we are stealing the resources of this planet without regard to the life we're destroying. And we talked before the show about the what's happening in Florida with the water life because of the Okeechobee, the green algae, the phosphate mining that's taking place. It is killing the beaches and waterways of Florida right now as we speak.
So what I'm hearing from everything that you've said is that people may know the Ten Commandments, and you read it and say, well, I don't steal. I don't go into a store and steal. I pay, you know, and I'm not killing anyone. I didn't shoot anyone. But you could be killing them, and you could be stealing with your greed by not giving. And that's what you're teaching.
Greed.
It's really powerful.
Greed and ego is destroying our planet. That's what's wrong with the balance. That's the darkness. And I believe we're all a balance of light and dark. The Ten Commandments is to give us guides for how we always choose good over evil, light over dark, so that we stay in the light, so that our souls evolve to its highest purpose, and we live our life here in its highest purpose. Life is short. I mean, and it's a gift. You know, we have been, and we need to make the best of this life while we're here. I mean, that's really it is. And you only do it by spreading love and kindness. And you don't take what isn't yours on any level. You give more, and you create, and you do. And it's just, I mean, yeah, I have a girlfriend I talked to this week, and she told me about the mitzvah catcher. And people think mitzvahs are good deeds, but it's really it means commandment. And she gets up every day with the thought, what mitzvah can I do today? Whether it's a simple one, each day she's looking for things that she can do that helps in any small way possible the energetic balance of the planet. And she said, kids need to be taught that today. You know, and she wants to write a children's book.
Beautiful, because I'm thinking of so many of the different people I've worked with and spoken to and coaches, and they talk about having a gratitude journal. So every day you write what I'm grateful for, but you're not saying, what am I going to do to give to people? How am I going to share?
And
let them
and it has to flow.
Right.
Everything needs to be flowing. And our economy is collapsing because there is resources being removed without value added. It needs to be constantly in movement. And, you know, as I said, I am a person who believes in balance in all things, you know, as much as possible. So, you know, I look at the world, and the problem to me with socialism is socialism because it doesn't encourage productivity and incentivize people. But the problem with capitalism are capitalists because we are greed and ego is no longer regulated. And as a lawyer, I can tell you I have watched judges lose their power to do equity because the laws have been written to take their power away. You know, AT&T was broken up how many years ago because it became a monopoly? Everything's a monopoly today. I mean, and I hate to say it, as I say, I believe in people having rewarded for their services, for their ingenuity. But come on, how many billionaires do we need in the world if they're, because that's being taken out of the system unless it's being back into the flow of things so other people can work. There are less people able to make as much money and do for their families and give back. And there's something wrong in that equation. You know, it's just that balance.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop now. But I just think you have a really powerful message because of your background as an attorney sharing about spirituality. You really know what's going on with the economy and all kinds of things that many spiritual people know nothing about. So how
we need
people
to come
get your
together.
Book? Yes.
DeniseAlexanderPyle.com is the website. The book is on Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's Balboa Press, who I published it with. It's there, and if you can contact me through the webpage, I would love to hear from people and get their reaction to the book.
Just say the website again.
Denise Alexander Pyle, and that's P-Y-L-E, just like Gomer Pyle, .com. All one word.
Oh, okay. Great. Wow, what insight you have, and it really is needed. We need this very badly in this society, and you gave so many reasons why we need it.
We need to restore the balance and bring us into the light.
So I want to thank you so much for coming on the radio show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was a blessing.
Yes, for both of us. And to those of you listening, this is Dr. Erica Goodstone, your host, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com. Get one of my free reports so you can be on my list, and then you'll know when my next Secret to Healing Through Love webinar goes live. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you.